the first word in the Latin translation as we continue in our Advent, as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. It's been a wonderful time of study. I hate to say surprising, but it has been surprising. You know, we read Mary's song and Zachariah's song and Simeon's song and not really paying a lot of attention to it, but as I have been studying and looking into it, and it's really helped me help prepare my heart for Christmas. I pray that it does the same for you. It's funny how things work out. This is kind of a side note that this whole weekend I've kind of felt a little guilty because Miss Bernice Holland came up here, I think on Friday, and she brought me a bag of peanut brittle, which is very good, you know, peanut brittle. And she brought a bag of peanut brittle for Kurt. And I ate it. Unashamedly, I ate his peanut brittle. And so I've been thinking, you know, I've got to tell Kurt. But really, I need to tell Miss Bernice that I did this. But Jim Lowry came up to me this morning and said, "Hey, did you get the Christmas cookies that I left you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I left them with Kurt." And I went, "Isn't it funny how things just kind of work itself out?" And, you know, just... Oh, the moral of the story is if you leave it with Kim, we'll both get it. So, you know, there's just some temptations that are more than a man can bear. And handing me peanut brittle is more than I can bear, believe me. Well, I didn't eat it all. I didn't eat it all. Carrie ate some, and Calvin ate some, and Rebecca ate some, and... No. They asked me first, and I gave them permission. Yeah, they asked me first, so... It just kind of works itself out in the wash. That's all I... That's... God is sovereign. And it just works itself out. So.
You ate your candy and the cute cake first.
Yeah, that's right. Kinda.
And Kurt just forgives.
The Lord knows.
The Lord knows. That's right. The Lord knows. That's right. So, the angel's song, Gloria. So, Jim, I didn't get cookies. So. Divinity with nuts. There's a reason why they call that divinity, because it is divine. It is divine. So, no, there is new recipes out that you can a quick. It's what's it called, Miss Janice? It's like a quick recipe, isn't it, for divinity? Oh, okay. When Grandma used to make divinity, we used to have to open all the windows in the house, and it had to be a certain... Everybody was freezing, but buddy, when we got done with it, it was divine. So, the message that the angels brought was a divine message. The angel that Gabriel that brought the message to Mary and brought the message to Zacharias was a divine message. the message that we are going to look at this morning, this one verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, this song of great joy, a message. Angel, as you know in Scripture, in the translated meaning, means messenger. And this message that they brought was a message of peace. But it was not a message, as Keith read, it's not a message of peace for every person. It's not a message of peace for every human being. And this message that we're going to look at, these verses, again, as we looked at Mary's song, as we looked at Zechariah's song, and now the angel's song, this message, it goes hand in hand with the doctrines of grace. And this peace that they sing about, this word, it does not, when we think of the word peace, we think about the absence of trouble or fighting. Are feuding. We think of peace being that. But this word peace in this song means literally a bringing together. Being brought into one. Making whole. Making a peace where it is where there is unity, a bond. And oftentimes, as you know, that peace or that bond of unity many times comes in the very midst of troubles and trials and tribulations. In our world, when even though this word peace, and when we read and we signs this holiday at peace on earth, and so many people will look at that and go, yeah, it's a happy time. It's a time for everybody to, no one to fuss or fight or feud. But that peace really means a bringing together, a calling in, a salvation is what it really is referring to. And our world is plagued by separation. You know that. We see it everywhere we go, in every venue, in every corner, in every place, homes that are separated, families that are separated, and we are seeing more and more and more as the years pass, parent and children being separated, friends, church, we're separated by race, education. We're separated by income. We're separated by so many different categories. We could go on and on and on. And when sin entered the world, people were separated from God. And Jesus came to bring oneness, to bring unity, to bring a wholeness, to bring us back in. And if you want to look at a good translation of this verse, this is how a good translation would read, very similar to this. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men with whom He is pleased. The NIV puts it, peace to men on whom His favor rests. That's a good translation. That's a correct translation of this song. Do you need peace in your life this Christmas? I do. I want a oneness. I want a fellowship with the Lord. I want a closeness with God. I want to be more separated from the things of this world and the activities going on around it, and the lostness that we see all around us, and the separation. I want to be one with our Lord. Do you need peace in your life? then learn how to sing the angel song. The same song that the angels sang, you learn this song and make it a part of your life. There's three stanzas to this song. It's very simple. Three things. And it's really, as if you could imagine, as Kurt was reading from the child's book, could you imagine that night on the hill? From eternities past, these angels, before the throne room of God, singing and bringing praise to God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and singing and singing and singing from eternities past, and seeing that the time had come for Christ to come. And the angel coming and saying, "Today, today is the day." They couldn't wait. Could you imagine them singing unlike they had ever sung before, because Christ the King was here? Could you imagine what was happening on that hill, on that hillside? That they were so full that they could not withhold themselves any longer. And the multitude of heavenly hosts surrounding that hill that night. Those poor shepherds. I mean, really? Really? Just one angel showing up brought fear to the whole group. Could you imagine the host of heaven? All the hosts of heaven coming forth. It's a bit overwhelming to think about it, to ponder thoughts like this. But this song means a great deal to the Christian church. They have sung the song for generations, and I want us to look at it. There's three stanzas to this song. The first stanza is "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. Just so you know, let's just cut through everything. This bringing glory to God is a prerequisite. You have to do this first. Bring glory to God before you will have peace in your life. You have to do this. Glory to God in the highest. You have to be one that's in a relationship, and we'll look at this more. But to be able to bring glory to God, you have to know that you're bringing glory to God. You have to be in a relationship and bring Him glory. But you will not have peace in your life until this is first. You have to have this first love. You have to take care of this before anything else in life functions correctly. If this is not in order, you will never have things in life fitting correctly. This has to be first. Bringing glory to God. What is glory to God? It's interesting, as I was looking into this and studying throughout the week, I thought, I'm going to look into the catechism. What is the glory of God? Because I think naturally, you may not do this, but when I look at Scripture, there's natural questions that just arise. The first thing is, what is it? What is glory to God? It says holiness, His splendor, His honor, His supremacy. That He is above everything else, that there's nothing higher than Him, nothing equal to Him, all is below Him. And to recognize that is glory. His radiance. But even if no one recognizes, it doesn't at all diminish God's glory. If no one ever believed that there was a God, if we went around blind, everyone from eternity's past throughout history, if no one ever believed and even noticed and even thought of a God, it makes Him no less God. No less holy. No less splendid. No less of anything. It is truly His holiness. His, if you want to know, His otherness. So what is glory? The supremacy of God. Well, how do we bring glory to God? How do we do this? The Children's Catechism simply says that Jesus said in John 15, you bring glory to God by loving Him and obeying Him. By following His commandments. That Christ, that God has given commandment and you obey His commandments. So, what is glory and how do we bring glory? And then the next question is, well, when should we do this? When should we bring Him glory? You know this question. When should we do this? Always. In everything. In every action. In every word. In all times. For all eternity. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, in everything you do, whatever you're doing, bring glory to God. Deuteronomy 6, you know this passage, says we need to teach these things to our children, to our families. When we're sitting, when we're sleeping, when we're walking, when we're in all these things, we need to be about teaching and pointing to the glory of God. So, glory to God in the highest. Before you will have peace, oneness, unity with God in your life this Christmas, this is a prerequisite. Bring glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And then, part B, peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. This is a result. This is it's a follow through of seeking after the glory of God, bringing peace in your life. What is it? What is this peace? What does it mean to be in unity with the Almighty, in oneness with Him, in fellowship with Him? I think it ultimately means freedom. What? Freedom? Well, listen. When you are in oneness, in a relationship, in fellowship with the Almighty, aren't you free to love? Why be scared anymore to love? There's no reason. If He is God, if He is sovereign, if He is holding all things together, aren't we free to just love? How about this one? Free to forgive. Free to love. Free to forgive. If people take advantage of that, they still have to stand before their Creator. Free to love, free to forgive. Free to work. Free to have labor and to work. And free to be content. Amen? That, Lord, this is what you've given me. This is the lot that you have given me, free to be content in what the Lord has given you. Not always looking around, being envious of what does so-and-so have, and what does this, free to be content with where you are with the Lord. Free to be happy. Free to be joyful. Free to be kind. That's peace. Knowing Him, being in relationship with Him, knowing that He is all that you need in life, sets you free. Amen? Sets you free. So I think when you look at peace, what does peace on earth, what is this really meaning? I think we need to look at three different realms. And there's it's so easy, but I do want to outline it for you. And the first one is beyond obvious. It's peace with God. That you will have no peace in this life until you have peace with God, meaning salvation. Y'all know that. You look around, look in your families, look at your friends, look at the torment and the trials and the trouble that's going on in your life. And the first thing that we have to ask is there peace in life? Do they have Jesus? Do they know Jesus? Not that that means that there won't be any troubles in their life, but you know what I'm talking about. Peace with God is offered only through Jesus Christ, faith in Him. And then peace with other people. If Christ is for you, who can be against you? Yes, we are a work in progress. Yes, we are going to rub people the wrong way. I mean, even this morning, Mike and I were talking in my office, and I know this is going to be shocking, but I have an abrasive personality. But I want to have peace with other people. I do. I want to be at rest and one with other people. And outside of a relationship with Jesus, really, you're not going to. Because how will you forgive? How will you truly love? How will you truly be kind? How will you truly be joyful? How do you do these things without a relationship with Jesus? How do you do them? You really don't. If you don't have Jesus, you have yourself. And you're really selfish at the core. No matter how many nice things you do for others, it's really for you. Even if you're doing it for others. And apart from Jesus, how do you really love? How do you do that? Really? I don't know. I don't know that. How do you forgive? How do you forgive somebody if you don't have Jesus? Do y'all know? I don't think you really do. I think it's an impossibility. Until you know forgiveness, how are you truly going to be forgiven? How is that possible? Is it? No. No, it's not. So peace with God, peace with other people, and peace in this creation. Y'all do know, we've covered this in Romans, that creation is groaning. They can't wait for the second advent of Christ. They are longing with anticipation. All of creation groans. Scripture says, like a woman in labor. Waiting for the... We are celebrating the first Advent. But there is going to be a second Advent. And there will be peace on this earth. But it will not be for everyone. That's the third stanza. But we'll get to it in just a moment. Creation will be redeemed. Everything around us will know a oneness. Let me tell you this. There's a song that Rich Mullen sings. Hold me, Jesus, for I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Will you be Prince of my peace? That song I have sung over and over and over. You have been King of my glory. Now will you be Prince of my peace? It fits. If He is not King of the glory of all the things in your life, like when Keith got up to read, and it's sometimes overwhelming when it hits. All that God does, it makes you set back. If He is King of your glory, the glory in your life, He will be Prince of Peace also. They go together. They fit. Give Him all the glory, and you will know peace unlike you've ever known. You can't have peace in life without giving Him glory. And then finally, the third stanza. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men with whom He is pleased. Towards men with whom He is pleased. With whom He is pleased. Who is this? It's His children. It's the elect. The royal priesthood. The holy nation. A peculiar people. A people that have been set aside for Christ. Now, before we get off and alienate ourselves, there's so many times that we say, well, what about all the other people? It's clear that Scripture teaches that all that seek Him will find Him. It is very clear. If you seek Christ, you will find Christ. The only reason you're seeking Christ is because He's done it in you. All that seek Him will find Him. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice and come. Amen? It's just simple. If there is a seeking, if there's a longing, if there's a stirring, if you want to find Him, you will find Him. But if you want to find anything else in this world, you will find that also. Towards men with whom He is pleased. It is His divine favor. One must not look any further than this. But we can. We can look at what He does, because doesn't He bring us in relationship with Him? And look at all the things that flow out of that. Favor after favor after favor after favor. Just like an ocean wave after wave after wave after wave of grace, and it never stops. It never stops. It just keeps coming. And that is what he's talking about here. Towards men in whom he is pleased. For God is pouring out his grace in our lives, and he has covered our massive rebellion. Our massive insult. Our massive amount of sin. He has covered it up. And with open arms, he has accepted us with no regrets. Amen? How is that possible? With no regrets? Lord, really? With no regrets. I thought this week, Lord, you have accepted my damaged life. And never once thought, what am I doing? Why did I choose Brandon? That's overwhelming to me. It really is. He has brought me into relationship and never once thought, why did I do this in his life? And not only that, I have a promise. And you have a promise. And Rodney has a promise. And we all have a promise. You know what the promise is? That not only has he accepted us with no regrets, but he's going to fix us. And that's the best news. That we will be whole. That one day we will be with him and there will be, everything will be right. And whole. That he not only accepts us and brings us in with no regrets, but that he will fix and repair and bring it into completion. That's overwhelming for me. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me. That kind of grace is hard for me. You know why? Because I want to earn it somehow. I want to be good enough somehow. I want to do something to earn that type of favor, and I can't. That his peace rests on me just simply because I'm his. And I'm one of the hard kids. And it's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. So in closing, from this song, let us learn to give glory to God in the highest order. Amen? As He is fit to receive glory. Let's give Him all the glory and let us rest in His peace, which will come. It will come. You give Him glory and that peace will come like a river. Ask some of these folks that have gone through the midnight cries. After burying loved ones and hurt folks, and the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? You know. You give Him the glory and peace will come. That doesn't mean the absence of trouble. It doesn't mean the absence of hard times. It means that you will walk with a surety. And let's watch as you see the divine favor being poured out on person after person after person after person. You give God the glory. You will have peace in your life, and God will use you, and you will see Him move in people's lives. Amen? That's the type of Christmas that I want. That's the song. I want to sing the angel song. I want to understand it. Glory to God in the highest. And you will know peace on this earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for this word. Thank You for this song that You saw fit to put this heavenly song here for us. Lord, help us to be able to sing this song this Christmas. Lord, may this Christmas be the best Christmas we've ever had in our lives. Not because of what we've received or what we've given, but may it be the best because it's all about You. You get all the glory. Thank You, Lord, for Your promises. Thank You for Your gift of grace. We are undeserving of it. We confess it openly, but thank You for it. Thank You, God. And Lord, we pray for our church family, for this small church. May this Christmas we worship You as You should be worshipped. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.